Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting. You're really accurate today.
Not bad for an old guy. We'd like to sink the theory of evolution and then the HMS Beagle right down to the depths. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we'd love to welcome you to a fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation, evolution, where we came from. We use scripture, we use science, we use lighthearted and airheaded argument. Well, okay, we'll use what we can here on Sink the Beagle.
And we'll make it fit.
And we will make it fit. And today, speaking of horse stories.
Well, we got a horse story.
We
for
got
you.
A horse story. Let's talk about horses today. And
well, actually, Stan, when we talk about horses and evolution has actually been a major part of explaining the process of evolution. You know, when you go, I've been to museums, and I have seen in my biology textbook going to high school, and I've seen it in my daughter's biology textbook just recently.
You feel at home in museums, don't you?
Yeah, I do. is it the smell? No.
And you've looked at these textbooks, yes.
I look at these textbooks, and they always show a sequence of a little horsey, like a little doggy, getting bigger and bigger until you have the modern
day
big stallion,
Seabiscuit.
You know, Seabiscuit.
Yes.
There you go, or Secretariat.
Right.
And it seems like they say, see, there you have this straight line development of evolution from this horse to this horse. And they have like five
stages or something. And, you know, that's true because from the time of Darwin, they're very aware, evolutionists are very aware, that the fossil record is not their friend. Looking for those missing links has been difficult to find transitional forms between the simple to the more complex, more modern, through the layers of rock. And they haven't found that many, but they thought...
They haven't found any, Stan.
They haven't... Well, okay, hold on. No, we're going to... wind up on that.
But, okay.
But the actual horse story supposedly has been one of their very best. From little ancient Eohippus and even earlier to, the Hyrax critter, you know.
The rock
Hyrax, or, you know, what was the name of that guy again? Sounds like Hyrax.
No, I don't know what his name is, but the whole point, Stan, is that they have no... missing links.
Hyracotherium, that's it.
Oh.
Hyracotherium, and basically a hyrax, yes, a bunny-looking kind of thing.
A rock rodent.
With
sharp pointy teeth.
that supposedly was the beginning of horses way back when, and all the way up. Now they're looking at this very best evidence, they thought, for evolution.
Let's consult a few evolutionists, Stan. I want to consult an evolutionist.
You don't want
basically
from creationists?
I want to start with an evolutionist, George Simpson.
Right.
Yes. The famous evolutionist that wrote this, "The uniform continuous transformation of Hyracotherium, that's the rock hyrax, into equus, that's the horse,
that's horsey,
so dear to the hearts of generations of textbook writers." In other words, every textbook writer likes to show, like the one that wrote my daughter's textbook, high school textbook.
The evidence of evolution.
Evolution never happened in nature.
Now, wait a minute. It never happened?
No.
This is an evolutionist saying this.
Yeah, an evolutionist saying, oops.
He's saying the evidence does not now support it as they originally thought.
They originally thought that you could make this chain chains, and this is not even things that belong in the same lineup.
Well, how about the British Museum kind of chiming in on this? Colin Patterson, senior paleontologist, says this. "There have been an awful lot of stories, some more imaginative than others, about what the nature of that history of life really is. The most famous example still on exhibit downstairs.
That's in the British Museum.
In the British Museum is the exhibit on horse evolution prepared perhaps 50 years ago. That has been presented as the literal truth in textbook after Emily's textbook right?
And after Bradley's textbook, after Stan, yours and mine too.
I remember it in public school. Now I think that is lamentable.
I like that word, lamentable.
It's lamentable.
You know, here's a British. A British paleontologist at the museum talking about lamenting, kind of like what Jeremiah the prophet did. And we'll get into him in a minute, what we should do. But go ahead, finish it.
Yes, he says, now that I think that is lamentable, the series that they have proposed, particularly when the people who propose those kinds of stories may themselves be aware of the speculative nature of some of that stuff.
In other words, he's saying we should be crawling on the ground, wailing in ashcloth and sackcloth and ashes.
Yes.
And like the old prophet saying, woe is us. We are doomed because we believe such garbage.
Well, that's a bit strong. I'm not sure if he'd put it quite that way.
Okay, all right. That's true.
In other words,
maybe rolling in tea and crumpets.
He's lamenting that people have both presented that and basically it continues on.
And they said that it's downstairs
in the museum right now. We're still proposing it as an example of evolution, and that's lamentable.
And they should have known better, because it says they knew that the evidence wasn't that
the
way.
The evidence wasn't
That's what makes it lamentable. You know, there's a Bruce McFadden of the Museum of Natural History at the University of Florida.
Okay.
And he writes that over the years, fossil horses have been cited as a prime example of orthogenesis. That's a straight line evolution from what we just mentioned before.
Right.
From the little rock bunny to
straight up
the Secretariat
and
the Triple Crown winner.
Yep.
It can no longer be considered a valid theory.
Oh.
We find that once a notion becomes part of the and here's the big statement.
Yes.
Once a notion becomes part of the accepted scientific knowledge, not proven scientific, it is very difficult to modify it or reject it.
Yeah, once it's in, and it's hard to get out.
Man, you can't get that out of the textbook. Sorry, we were wrong. Never mind.
But you and I have come across a number of arguments pro-evolution where this example is cited as one of the very best, if not the best example of, there it is, the fossil record
of the
proves
horses.
That we go from one critter to another in a nice straight line right on up to the horses. Modern horses, and here they are all saying, these are the evolutionists. These, despite this evidence, still believe in evolution, but they're saying our example that we've used is not a good example. The evidence doesn't support the example. It's a horse story, and they're agreeing. It's horse feathers. And
the closest,
and they're just horsing around with
I think it's more believable to believe in Mr. Ed, you know, going, hello, Wilbur. You know, than it is to believe in this
Mr.
kind of
Ed, you know.
We're dating ourselves, Stan. We are looking pretty old right now.
Maybe that was evolution of horses right there. It's evolving into a speaking. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it takes us. The ideal end of that whole museum exhibit should be Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Put a little peanut butter on his lips
and
put a little.
Yeah, after Seabiscuit, you got Mr. Ed.
We got it, Stan.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But is it? I don't know. I guess we could. Are there other evidences outside of just horses, though? Have other evolutionary scientists kind of finger poked at some of the evidence?
Yes, there have been. And some of the most famous ones, like reptile to bird, I think of this quote from W.E. Swinton. It says, the origin of birds is largely a matter of deduction. There is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved. Now, please notice the black and white there statements. There is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved.
So they
still believe it happened, but there's no evidence of it.
Yeah, and so they haven't found any transitory forms.
Yes.
They haven't found any transitions.
There's no half bird, half dinosaurs.
Feathered.
Yep. One quarter, that kind of thing. There are some birds that look a little different than birds today. There are dinosaurs that have features in them that kind of look like the skeleton of birds.
But there's
no connection in the fossil order or record to make a clear straight line.
So the Bible of evolutionary science, which is the fossil record and the geologic column, does not prove the truths which it claimed to teach. That's a simple way of saying it.
And there are others that we could cite here. But, you know, the one thing I want to talk about, you mentioned the lamentable, the laments. We have to return to our good friend Stephen Jay Gould of Harvard.
Oh, what does he say?
When he speaks about this subject, Harvard. This lamentable situation. He says, every paleontologist knows, okay, that most species don't change. He's talking about the fossil record. Most species don't change.
You mean
change.
People are still people, monkeys are still monkeys apes
enter,
are still apes.
The dinosaur starts,
by the way,
T-Rex starts and ends the same way in
that
the fossil record.
That same Stephen Jay Gould wrote two articles on, he's a paleontologist.
Yes.
And he wrote two articles, once in, I believe it was 1980, I remember reading an article that he wrote that lists the monkey to ape or ape to human sequence, and they had seven different intermediaries.
Yes.
Well, after 7 years later, 8 years later, after further scientific investigation of the evidence, they narrowed it to four,
and the
last one was human, so they cut out four of what they thought were supposed stages. And now the whole lineup is in question.
Human evolution is one of the weakest of the fossil records.
That's why they go to the dinosaur, to bird. They want to find it deeper in the column where they think they can prove it.
Okay, let me finish this quote from Stephen Jay Gould. He said, every paleontologist knows that most species don't change. That's bothersome. Brings terrible distress.
Lamentable.
They may get a little bigger or bumpier, but they remain the same species, and that's not due to imperfection and gaps, but stasis.
That's a dirty word, stasis.
Stasis, which is the opposite of evolution.
Yes.
An opposite of change. Stasis means staying the same. And yet this remarkable stasis has generally been ignored as no data. If they don't change, it's not evolution, so don't talk about it. And that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
In other words, because they assume evolution, when they see no evolution in the fossil record, they just simply say, we haven't found it, but we know it's there somewhere. We just keep looking.
And the sad reality is that what he's really saying in that one, just that one sentence,
why
it's so distressful is because the evidence seems to be just the opposite
of what
they believe.
Yes.
Of what they believe to be true. And that's why it's lamentable. The only thing that's not lamentable is he's made lots of money off all the books he sold trying to believe something that is lamentable. But anyway.
Always quoted.
We have a torpedo text that we'd
about
like
horses?
To share. Yeah, about horses. Horse feathers, so to speak.
Okay.
It's interesting. If you want to use horses for evidence, the Bible kind of warns against it. A little bit out of context, but hey, why not? Go for it.
Okay. In Psalms 33:17, it says, a horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength.
In other words, don't trust in the horse saving you. Don't
and it's metaphorically, not going to deliver evolution by its great strength either.
You're not going to find the horse record delivering evolution. It's kind of how we're twisting that a little bit. But the point is that there is a true line of true evidence, of true sequence of events historically that occurred that seem to explain where we came from, why things are the way they are, and where we're going. And we believe that to be the Bible.
That's right.
And we believe that that's where you find the true links of where we came from, what's wrong, you know, and the true story, not just a bunch of horse hockey, so to speak.
The thing is, the geologic column records not evolution, but stasis, and it shows distinction and death. It shows, frankly, evidence of a flood.
Another word they don't
like. The biblical record is vindicated by the geologic column. And that's where, listeners, we'd like to encourage you to turn your eyes of faith not toward man-made constructions, but look toward the Word of God to find there an accurate and literal history of where we came from, and better yet, predicts where we'll be going. So tune
right
in
on.
Again. Absolutely. So tune in next time to
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile. From seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.